man, so good to see everybody this morning. Welcome to the Edge Church. Happy Father's Day. Let's give all the dads a round of applause today. If you're a dad today, you get whatever you want, all right? Today's Dad's Day. Hey, today has been a fantastic day at the Edge Church. We had overflow attendance at the 9:30 service. We actually had to bring in extra chairs, and we got a great attendance here at 11 o'clock. And also, we baptized 7 people just a few minutes ago. Isn't that great to see what God is doing at the Edge Church? Yeah, there was water all over the place. In fact, I'm still wet, but I love it. I love to be wet. That's good. It's a good thing. Man, I'm glad you're here today. Today we want to pick up where we left off. Today we're talking about going public, and this week I was reminded of the fact that I was at the Dallas airport just a couple of weeks ago, and I sat down. I was there a little early for my flight, was going to watch some TV or something just for a few minutes before I was to board, and the guy next to me said, "Can I borrow your phone charger?" And I said, "Sure." I said, I think I've got it here, but I'm not sure where it is. And he said, "Well, just take your time, you know." And I said, "Well, if you'll give me a minute, I'll dig through my stuff and find it." So I opened my suitcase up and I pulled all my clothes out, and I had like dirty socks and underwear and all kinds of stuff stored out all over the airport. But I did find it. It was in the bottom of one of my gym shoes, in the very bottom of the suitcase. So I kind of pulled it out and I kind of handed it to him, like, "If you want to touch it, you know, good luck." And he said, "Oh, thank you so much. I've been wanting to call my wife all day, and my battery's been down." And, you know, he said, "I tell you what, here's a $20 bill. Go buy a Starbucks and just bring me the change." He goes, "Get a Trenta." And I said, "No, I don't have to do that." And he said, "No, really." And I was like, "Well, all right, you know." So I walked over. I got a Starbucks. I came back, brought him his change. We sat down. We started talking. He said, "Well, what do you do?" And I said, "Well, actually, I'm a pastor. And I started a new church in the Denver area." He said, "Really? That is so interesting." And he asked some questions about that, and we kind of talked about that. And I said, "Yeah, do you go to church?" And he said, "Well, on occasion, I do. You know, maybe like every other Christmas or Easter or something like that, maybe I go." He said, "Now, I never talk to my kids about anything about God, Jesus, or the Bible because I don't really know that much about it, and so what I did was I paid to send them to Catholic school because I figured that the school can cover all that, but we don't talk about any of that stuff at home." And I said, "Well, you know what? I really believe that you could talk to your kids about God, and you could talk to your kids about Christ, you know? And I said, if I could just share a few things with you this afternoon, you may have a little different perspective on that. Would that be okay?" He said, "Sure. Tell me whatever you'd like." So I went through the gospel with him. I began to talk to him about how Jesus died on a cross and then how he rose from the grave. And we began to dialogue a little bit about that. And he began to ask some questions. He said, "You know what, Ryan?" He said, "I'll tell you what. Why is it that I go to church and I don't feel connected to God? You know, I sit there, you know, and I don't really feel anything. I don't really understand what's going on." And I said, "You know what, Tony? It's because you haven't joined the family of God. You know, you are God's creation, but you're not part of God's family. Today, you could join the family of God." And he kind of perked up, you know, and he kind of just started to talk with me even a little bit more. And I went through some more of the gospel with him, and I explained the plan of salvation about how he could be redeemed, how he could have this personal connectivity with Christ. And he said, "You know what? That sounds really cool. What are you supposed to do?" You know, I thought he was ready to get his credit card out, you know, and just hand it to me, you know, or he was going to sign a form. And I said, "Well, you know, we could actually just pray together right here in this airport." And he looked at me and he kind of gave me that look like, he said, "Now, I got to be honest with you. That is weird. Praying at an airport." He said, "Ryan, do you know what that reminds me of?" He said, "Did you see that 1980s movie called Airplane where the Hare Krishnas were at the airport?" And I actually had, I started laughing. And I said, "Hi, I'm Ryan the Hare Krishna." You know, I mean, you know, I got the haircut and everything. And we laughed a little bit about it. It was pretty funny. I said, "You know, it's so funny you said that." I said, "I got to tell my church that." I said, "Is that okay?" He said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, tell your church." I was like, "They'll get a kick out of that." So I said, "You know, I know that that sounds kind of odd, maybe like if you never pray, that like you'd pray at an airport. Like, I get that." And I'm kind of laughing on the inside because I'm like, okay, the guy really thinks I'm a weirdo. But I said, "You know, if you actually did it, you'd probably discover that it might not be as strange as what you might think, you know?" And he said, "Ryan, I just can't get over the Hare Krishnas at the airport, you know?" And so we talked a little bit more about that. And he told me very clearly he understood what I was sharing, and I gave him a track, and we talked about that. But he said, I'm not really ready to do that today. But he said, what is so interesting is that there was a guy that I was talking to in sales. There was a guy I was trying to sell some medical equipment to that was telling me the exact same thing that you're telling me today. He said, I didn't know that guy either. He said, so in two consecutive days, two total strangers out of nowhere are telling me the exact same things. And I said, Tony, God is sending you a message. And I started laughing a little bit, you know, and he started laughing too. And I said, you know, I'm totally serious. I mean, you got two people you don't even know out of nowhere, and they show up and they start telling you the exact same thing. Now, come on. And he started laughing too. So we had a great visit about that. And, you know, I started thinking about this particular visit in the airport. I started thinking about this guy, Tony, and this conversation that I had. And it dawned on me that God wants every single follower of Jesus to be a messenger about the good news of the gospel. Did you know that? God wants you to be about taking the message of the gospel. And sometimes that may be people that we don't know. Oftentimes, it is people that we do know. And God will open up doors and opportunities that even surprise us and amaze us when we begin to follow him and his leadership. And I love to call these divine appointments. Divine appointments are times in our lives where we know God wants us to say something or minister to somebody in a particular way that is just a unique opportunity. You know, it's just like, it's a special moment, if you will. It's that time where we have an opportunity to speak up. I was at the airport. I didn't really want to talk to anybody. You know, I just wanted to watch TV. I had preached four times at my friend's church, and I really wasn't thinking about having a conversation with anybody. And then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, this door began to open. God has divine appointments for you. And sometimes those are with complete strangers, but many times it's with people that we know and love. Sometimes it's with our family. Sometimes it's with our coworkers or our friends. But in that special moment, we have an opportunity to give an example and to talk about the greatest gift of all, and that is salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes people say, well, you know, Ryan, my faith is a very private thing, and I don't like to talk about, you know, that because it's private. And I understand that. You know, there's some things about following Jesus that are very private. But let me share this thought with you. There's not one thing in the world that we don't love that we don't want to talk about. You know, could you imagine a parent that never talked about their kids? That would just be weird. If you never talked about your hobbies, your interest, if you never talked about where you like to vacation or where you like to eat or what you like to do for fun, that would be a little bit odd. In fact, last week I told you guys the Dallas Mavericks were going to win the NBA championship. Is that right? Can we give it up for the Mavs? Okay, we got a few fans in the house. Okay, good, good, good. It was a word of prophecy, okay, that I gave you guys. I said the Mavs would be declared champions, and I was right. I needed to gloat just a few seconds on that. But, you know, it's hard to not talk about the things that you love. It's hard to not talk about the things that you value. So if you really value Jesus Christ, then how could we not talk about him at least a little bit, you know, from time to time? Because he's just a part of who we are and of what we do. And when we live in sync with the plans and purposes of God, then we get ready to talk to other people about that. Now, you may think, well, Ryan, that's kind of weird to talk about your faith. And it may seem a little weird. You know, Tony, my friend in the airport, he thought that was a little odd. And it can be, and I realize that Christians can be very weird. You know, Christians can be some of the weirdest people on the planet. You know, they scare me sometimes, you know, sometimes. And I was at Starbucks a couple weeks ago, and I was working on a message there, and I started sneezing. You know, I have really bad allergies. And I sneezed, and the lady that was the barista behind the thing, she said, not amen. She said, bless you, okay? It might have been an amen, but she said, bless you. And then I sneezed again right after that. And then she and somebody on the other side of Starbucks, they said, bless you, like at the same time, like in unison. And then I sneezed a third time, and then a third person said that. And I just kept sneezing, and it felt like to me every person in Starbucks was blessing me. You know, I was embarrassed. You know, I didn't want people staring at me. I was trying to not sneeze. I was like, I'm already blessed. You know, you don't have to bless me. So thank you. But sometimes we can say things that can be kind of weird. But listen, following Jesus doesn't have to be weird. In fact, I believe that when we begin to walk in and to take advantage of these divine appointments, we are just connecting people to how God has changed our lives. So you're talking to somebody that's having financial difficulties, and you encourage them. You give them a word of encouragement. Hey, I want to tell you how God has brought me through some financial difficulties in my own life. You know, God's taught me about being generous. God's taught me about being faithful. God's taught me about bringing the tithe. God's taught me about good financial management. And this is how my faith has been stretched. And this is how I'm a new person. Or somebody's depressed and they don't know what to say or what to do. And you say, you know, Christ brought me through an experience like that. And you just begin to connect the dots. And when God opens the door, you're sharing real life examples. You're not being weird. You're being authentic. You're being genuine. It's actually the opposite. You see, it's not that we're trying to be strange. It's that we are really helping people see how the Christian faith is so relevant. In fact, next week, I'm beginning a brand new teaching series. We're going to go entirely through the book of James in 10 weeks. And the book study is called Relevant Faith. We're going to talk about how our faith can really make a difference. In fact, next week, I'm going to talk about what it means to be a really deep, devoted follower of Jesus. We're going to look at the book of James. I'm really excited about that. So I hope that you'll be back. We've got cards that we're going to give you on the way out the door. We've got banners up today promoting that series that will be beginning next week. Because God wants you to have a faith that is relevant, one that makes a difference. It changes the way you think. It changes the way that you act. It changes your heart and your mind. And following Jesus is real. Now, God wants us to seize these divine appointments. And Acts chapter 16, I believe, is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible to speak to this issue. In the early part of the chapter, verses 12 and 13, the Bible tells us that the Apostle Paul and his friends are trying to find where they're supposed to go, and where they want to go is not where God is leading them. And if you'll follow along with me on the screen or on your sermon notes there, it says, "And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come upon Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." So Paul's original plan was to go here or to go here, and yet the Spirit of Jesus directs him there. Maybe you've had a plan for your life, and you thought, oh, this is where I'm going. This is where I'm going to live. This is where I'm going to work. This is what I'm going to do. But you find yourself, you're not on the A plan or what you thought the plan was, but you're in another place. And Paul was shocked to find out that God was redirecting him. He was redirecting him into the continent of Europe. In fact, at this time, there was not one believer in the whole continent of Europe. And Paul wanted to stay there in the part of the world that was beginning to hear about the gospel, but God had another plan. That was to take the gospel to Europe. Now, that sounds a little bit weird to us today, because when we think about the Christian faith, we think about massive cathedrals in Europe, and I've seen many of them. I mean, they are impressive. Stained glass windows and stone pillars and magnificent choir lofts and big wooden pulpits and all that stuff. But at this point in the game, the Christian faith had not spread to Europe. And so God says, this is maybe not where you want to go, but it is the place that I have for you. And see, if we're going to seize our divine appointments, the very first thing we have to do is be available. We have to say, God, where do you want me to go? You know, where do you want me to be? You may not live in the neighborhood that you want to live in. You may not have the job that you want to have. You may not be even in the city that you want to live in. But God has a plan for your life. And he has orchestrated the events of your life centered around those things so that you can share the love of Christ with other people. So whether we are where we want to be or not where we want to be, It doesn't matter because God has a divine plan, and these doors begin to open when we're following his leadership. So Paul didn't end up where he wanted to be, but tremendous spiritual fruit is about to happen. In fact, if you read the remaining chapter of Acts chapter 16, you will see that Paul's ministry had tremendous impact with the Philippian jailer and then also with a woman named Lydia that we're going to talk about in just a moment. But I'll tell you, praying a big prayer is where these divine moments all begin. Would you do that today? Would you just pray a big prayer? And here's the big prayer. The big prayer is, God, I want you to use me. God, however you want to use me, whatever you want to do with my life, wherever you want to direct me, God, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say, wherever you want me to go, God, I'm ready. You know, you can count on me. I am available. Sometimes we're just too busy. You know, I was thinking when that guy Tony stopped me in the airport, I thought, man, I don't want to talk to this guy, you know? I mean, I don't have time for that. I'm tired, man. I don't want to have a conversation now. I just want to watch TV, you know? And yet God was opening a door there. Can we slow down enough to let God use us? Are we open for God to use us even when we're not at the place or at the time or the stage of life that we may want to be in? It's oftentimes that God uses us in those scenarios the most. And sometimes God moves in unexpected places. In fact, Brian Treadwell and I flew back from Phoenix late last night. We were visiting Palm Valley Church there in the greater Phoenix area, and we headed down to Phoenix earlier this week. In fact, you know what? We got a rental car at 11 p.m. It was 108 degrees. Can you guys imagine that? That is unbelievable. I was thanking God the whole time that I'm in Colorado, you know? I mean, I'm still sweating today from being in Phoenix this week. Unbelievable. But on the way down there, Brian has been praying, God, use me, and we've been talking about sharing our faith a little more in the staff, and, you know, he's been asking God for some opportunities. So this guy sits in the seat next to him on the airplane, and he says, why are you going to Phoenix? And Brian says, we're going down there to visit a church. He says, oh, you're a Christian. Brian says, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. And he stuck out his hand, and he said, I want to shake your hand. He said, I'm going to become a Christian in 2 weeks. You know, Brian was thinking, well, what's the hurry? You know, I mean, you know, I'm going to follow Jesus in 2 weeks. Not now. So Brian begins to talk to him a little bit and takes out a track and begins to share Christ with this guy and, you know, is encouraging him, you know, to commit his life to the Lord. And, you know, ultimately the guy couldn't get over the fact that he had to wait 2 weeks, which is very interesting to me. But it was an open opportunity that God was giving him and Brian to share the good news. And it was unexpected. You know, Brian's like, I don't talk to strangers on airplanes. You know, I don't do that. I didn't want to do that. But the opportunity was there. God has put you in the lives of some people for a specific reason. You guys, you live in a house. You live in a neighborhood for a reason. You work in a cubicle for a reason. You're in a class for a reason. There's people around you that God loves, and he wants you to have a ministry. So today, would you pray that big prayer and just say, God, I'm available. However you want to use me, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know where to go or what to do, but God, I'm here. Count on me. That's what the Apostle Paul began to do in Acts 16, 12, and 13. He began to pray this big prayer. God, use me. And God redirected him in a place that he never thought that he would be. But there's also a second thing. If you go on to verse 14, the very first encounter that Paul gets to when he gets into Europe is in a city by the name of Philippi. And Philippi is in modern-day Greece, and the scripture tells us one who heard of us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. You see, if we're going to be in the business of finding the divine appointments of God, we have to not only be available, but we need to look for open hearts. Lydia had an open heart. God was doing something in her life. It wasn't just because Paul was so persuasive. It was because God was drawing her. God was motivating her. God was working in her life. And then all of a sudden, Paul shows up on the scene and he begins to minister and to answer questions and to dialogue with this woman about the resurrected Christ. Now, the tense of verse 14 implies that Lydia and Paul may have had an ongoing conversation. You know, sometimes when people come to faith, they have to talk to us a lot. Other times, people hear the good news one time and they're ready to sign up. You know, they're ready to roll. And everybody's different. People move at different paces. So they may have had an ongoing conversation. They may have just talked on this one occasion. But sometimes people who come to faith take a little longer, and that's okay. And she believed in God, but she didn't know Jesus. Notice it says she was a worshiper of God. She was a Gentile woman who worshiped the God of Judaism. And in ancient times, there had to be 10 Jewish men in a community before a synagogue could be built. And obviously, because these women were worshiping by a river, there weren't enough believers to build a synagogue. So there's this small handful of ladies that gather at the river to worship the God of Jehovah, of Jacob, the God of Israel. And they believe in God, they believe in the prophets, but they didn't know about Jesus. And so Paul begins to connect the dots, explaining how Jesus came to fulfill the teachings of the prophets in all of the Old Testament. And her heart just opened. I mean, it was like, wham, you know? Okay, yeah, tell me more. Now, this woman, Lydia, is a very interesting person because the scripture tells us she was a seller of purple. You have to wonder, well, what's that big deal about the seller of purple? You know, she didn't sell polka dots or plaids, but she sold purple. And in biblical times, purple fabric was extremely costly. In fact, most of the time, the people that wore purple were royalty, or they were at least very wealthy, because the purple dye used in clothes in the ancient world was from a certain gland from a particular fish, and you'd have to squeeze that gland after the fish was caught, and even just one fish would just make one little dot of dye. So to catch all these fish and to dye a piece of fabric purple was extremely expensive. They couldn't outsource it to India, okay? It was very costly. So this woman was a woman of high fashion. You know, she was the kind of woman that walked into a room and everybody was sticking a microphone in her face saying, "Who made your outfit?" You know? And she was saying Versace or Armani or Oscar de la Renta or Vera, whoever it is. And this wasn't exactly the Miley Cyrus brand from Walmart, okay, of clothing. This was something that was very costly. Lydia was an entrepreneur. She was a businesswoman. She was wealthy. And God did a great work in her heart, and Paul began to connect the dots. Now, they had this conversation. You know, it wasn't the kind of thing that Paul preached and, you know, the woman gave her heart to Christ. They're dialoguing. They're sitting down by a river. There's the flow of water in the background, you know, and they're just conversing and talking. And Paul's answering questions, probably sharing his own testimony about how he has seen a light on the Damascus Road, Acts chapter 9, and how he heard the voice of Jesus and turned away from killing Christians to being an apostle. And he's telling his story, you know, and they're just having a great visit. And the Lord opened her heart. That is inevitably what we should always be looking for when it comes to the divine appointments. We want to look for hearts that God is opening. Now, I have tried to open hearts by my own will, you know, in talking with people. And I can tell you, that does not work. But it is amazing when God is at work in the life of somebody else, how easy and how natural that conversation can just flow when God is at work. So we always want to be looking for the open heart. We always want to be looking for the Tony that is asking questions. We always want to be looking for that person. In fact, this week at our 101 class, we had several people committed their lives to Christ, but one lady in particular was a lady named Judy. She was here at the early service this morning, and we baptized her just a few minutes ago, but she came to church. She recently had moved to town. She got our Easter flyer. She came to church. She loved it. She started coming back every week. She had gone to another church a little bit before, but had never really understood who Jesus was and what the gospel was all about. And a Tuesday night, Gina was talking with her, and she wanted to give her heart to Christ. And there at our 101 class, man, the Lord opened her heart, and she committed her life to Christ, and she was baptized just a few minutes ago. And God's doing a tremendous work in her life. And I thank God that almost every week, new people are committing their lives to Jesus. Children, adults, teenagers, older people, younger people, people all over the map. We've baptized a bunch of senior adults in our church. Man, I'm telling you, you would not expect that with a young church and a new church start. But that is a reality. And the great thing is that God is always opening the hearts of people. And the question is, when God opens the hearts, are we going to be ready to speak up and to speak out for the good news of the gospel? What a great opportunity that we have. We also want to start the ripple effect. We want to look for the open heart, but we want to start the ripple effect. Notice verse 15. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. So Lydia opened her heart to Christ. She embraced the message of the gospel. And then she and her whole family got baptized. I mean, the whole family did. Can you imagine that? Now, they weren't little infants. They were all people of age because the pattern of the New Testament all the way through the book of Acts is people were believers and then they were baptized. But the legacy and the impact of Lydia was profound. She listened to the message of Paul. Then she communicated the message to her family. And then biblical scholars tell us that the Philippian church began in the household of Lydia. So she actually creates a venue for church to begin, kind of like we started the Edge Church in our living room. Lydia started the church in her living room. And then furthermore, as Paul traveled around to the other cities of the ancient world, his friends at the church at Philippi were the ones that gave him the financial backing to continue all of his missionary excursions, probably through Lydia. Isn't that amazing to see how one conversation and one person committing their lives to Christ could impact a family and then a city and then a world? And that's what God wants to do in your life. And God wants you to be a person that's creating the ripple effect. Your ministry, your influence, your story, you know, your walk with God can be the thing that begins to impact generations. Some of us say are first generation Christians. There may not be anybody even in your family that follows Jesus. You have a chance to rewrite the family tree that will be of your family. Is that not incredible to think about? You know, your kids and your grandkids, and even your great-great-grandkids, and even if you never see them, God could still use your life to influence them, even indirectly. And that's what the ripple effect is all about. In your office, man, the ripple effect. You might have a chance to minister to one person, and that one person may turn into another person, and another person, and another person. And that's why I believe that the Christian life is the most exciting life of all, because God is at work, and He gives us the tremendous privilege to be a part of His work, and then we begin to see ripples and ripples and ripples all around us. And God wants us to be all about the ripple effect and changing the trajectory of our family. Now, last week, we talked a little bit about baptism. We baptized a whole bunch of people I mentioned earlier just a minute ago. And baptism is such an awesome thing because it's when we go public with Christ. You know, we're basically saying publicly, I'm a follower of Jesus. Every time that Jesus called somebody to follow Him, He always challenged them to do so publicly. And in fact, we had one of our ladies that got baptized a minute ago. She came up to me right before the 9:30 service. She said, "Ryan, I'm so nervous. I get real panicky." She said, "Please don't make me come up front and introduce me before I get baptized." And I said, "Well, I said I'd like to, but if you think you're going to have a panic attack, I don't want to have you do that. So just stay in the back and, you know, it'll be okay." She's like, "I'm really nervous," and she was shaking. Well, at the end of the service, guess what? She was running down here to the front, you know, and she was all excited. And she was overcoming her fears because she was excited to share with her church family what Christ had done in her life. And she wanted to do that more than she cared about her own worries and own concerns. So being baptized, it actually lets us tell others our story, and it encourages everyone around us. You know, when we see people follow Jesus, it inspires the whole group. You know, everybody's motivated. Everybody is blessed by what God is doing. And it best symbolizes the death and resurrection of Christ. You know, as we go underneath the water, that reminds us of the death and the burial of Christ. As we come up out of the water, that reminds us of the resurrection and the fact that our sins have been forgiven. And this is what the household of Lydia began to do. Man, the whole family together got baptized, even that day. It's amazing, isn't it? So God wants us to pray a big prayer. And if we'll pray a big prayer and say, God, use my life, then the ripple effect will begin to happen. You know, would you say that to God today? Would you make that your prayer? And I don't want you to miss the Tony at the airport, or the Tony in your office, or the Tony in your neighborhood, or the Tony wherever you're going. God has people that he wants to put in your path that you can encourage and inspire to follow Jesus. And God has divine appointments everywhere that we go. Let's just bow for a word of prayer today, and let's just ask God to lead us and direct us. God, today we do ask you to give us words, give us courage, give us boldness to say what you want us to say, God. Help us to follow you in that way, God. We're excited today to share about the goodness and the grace of Jesus, and what an opportunity that we have to do so. So, Lord, help us to be strong and to be courageous and to be loving and to be generous with people. Because, God, we have the greatest message of all. And today we ask you just to use us and to do a great work in our lives and in our hearts. Help us to not miss those opportunities as you bring them along our path. We look forward to that, God. And put people's names even on our hearts today that you would want us to minister to. God, people that we sense that you may be bringing a divine appointment our way. And the Lord, when the door opens, God, let us be faithful to go forward and to say what you would have us to say. And we pray this all in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.